Good evening, Northwest University. I am absolutely thrilled to be with you this evening, unfortunately virtually, but with the powers that be, with the health pandemic that has broken out, I've been compromised in a way where I cannot be there with you in person, but I'm absolutely going to deliver the word nonetheless. I just want to first off really thank your president, Dr. Castleberry, for allowing me to share with you, as well as Megan for reaching out and making this all possible. And I'm hoping, it is my prayer, that something will be said, something will be delivered, something will be felt, that God's presence will override even my voice, that he would speak through me, that something would transpire and change your life, not temporarily, but permanently. And for that, all I can do is say thank you to God in advance. My name is Romel Witherspoon, and it brings me great joy to be with you this evening, and I won't be before you long. As I understand the attention span, especially when it's not necessarily in person. But again, I do believe and I am very confident that something is going to take place that's going to change your life for the good. If you can just lend me your ears for a few moments. But before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone all over the campus who has made their way this evening. No one is here by force, oh God. Everyone here is here by choice. So I thank you in advance for those who have sacrificially found the way to get closer to you. And I pray that you would deliver, that you would come through, that souls will be set free, that souls will come to you, and at the end of the day, that you would get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In your son's name we pray, amen and amen. I am going to be before you not very long, but hopefully very efficient, and I want to speak to you from the subject topic, let my people know. Let my people know. This is not the first pandemic that the world has ever seen. This is not the second pandemic that the world has ever seen. The Bible has been repeating itself over and over and over. And God sent a plague, such as COVID-19, when Moses was telling Pharaoh that God told him to let his people go. When Pharaoh would not listen, God sent frogs, he sent wasps, he sent a famine in the land. The oxen, the cattle, and the cows were struggling to stay alive. Food was hard to come by. God even took the firstborn of everyone that Pharaoh was under. And because of that, he eventually let his people go. And I believe that we're living in a time now where God has sent a pandemic to say, it's time to let my people know that I am still in control. I don't care what challenges you're dealing with psychologically. I don't care what challenges you're dealing with financially. I don't care what challenges you're dealing with economically. I don't care what challenge you're dealing with within your grades and within the confines of who you're trying to become as a man or who you're trying to become as a woman. I assure you that these are the times that God is not caught off guard, but I'm just here at Northwest University to tell you, to let you know that God is still in control of everything that is taking place in your life. This is somewhat of an instant replay for God, but at the end of the day, if we handle it the way Moses did and seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then all the other things will be added unto us. And I believe very fast that Moses was one who had to be a conduit for God. He had to be a vehicle for God. He had to be the first to break the cycle of following God and not necessarily what you can see. I'm just here to let you know that in 2 Corinthians verses 4, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it reads, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I think every person under the sound of my voice can fit in any one of those categories. You ever feel squeezed on every side where you don't know which way is up? You don't know how you're going to do this, how you're going to eat, how I'm going to finish this. God says, yes, you're hard pressed on every side. You're pressed, but you're not crushed. Ooh, if you're not crushed, you still got a chance to win. He says you can be perplexed, you can be perplexed, you can be confused, you can be not knowing, but not in despair. He says you can be persecuted, you can be talked about, you can be lied on, but you will not be abandoned by God's presence. He will not leave you. You might be even struck down, but I tell you what, I've been on the ground and it doesn't hurt that bad, because if I can get on the ground, I would want to fall on my back, because if I can look up, I can get up. But the Bible says you would not be destroyed. What if God didn't meet your expectations, Northwest, because he wanted to exceed them? Yeah, I'm going to give you time to write that down. What if God didn't meet your expectations because he wanted to exceed them? What if you are under asking something for God? Because sometimes we put God in a minuscule box and we ask him to meet the demands that are so simplistic that God probably finds it disrespectful that you even ask him to do that. When he's like, how about, you do know I created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. You do know I allow the sun and the moon never to collide with one another. You do realize that I don't allow the ocean to run into the freeway. You do realize that I have mountains sitting up on high. You do realize that I created the heavens and the earth, the depths of the ocean and the heavens and the skies. What is too difficult for God? Absolutely nothing. I'm here to let God's people know that nothing is too difficult. No prayer can be unanswered. No challenge can't be conquered. If you just believe, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'm here to tell you that the difference between where you are now and where you want to be is the applicable ideology of applying your faith even when you don't believe it. God did not say it, we have to believe it. He said we have to have faith that it would happen. And so here's what I realized, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's biblical. Now, I do believe that in the court of law, one has to be either deemed guilty or innocent before, there has to be proof and evidence before they can be deemed guilty or innocent. I believe that in the scientific lab, in order for something to be scientifically proven, there has to be both proof and evidence. But faith says with no proof and with no evidence, God, I trust you. In the midst of a pandemic, God, I trust you. In the midst of me not being able to get to my family, God, I trust you. In the midst of me going through a breakup, God, I trust you. In the midst of me being in between jobs, God, I trust you. In the midst of me not being validated for my gift by work, God, I trust you. Just because you got certain gifts for free, don't mean it won't cost you something. At the end of the day, we are all taking some form of a test, because faith, it being when your faith is tested, that's the only way to prove where you are in Christ. And if the last I checked, whenever you're taking a test, the teacher's very silent. The teacher is not teaching. The teacher is not talking during your test. They're absolutely silent because they have to allow you to concentrate, because they've already given you what's on the test. Now it's up for you to take it. God will not take your test for you, because now all of a sudden you are not treating him as God. You're treating him as a genie in a bottle. And God says, because I've given you the freedom of choice and you're willing to follow a man you've never seen, for that I bless you. Because real faith in the face of adversity is leaping before you look. That's the real faith. God told me to let his people know to leap without looking, because at the end of the day, God says, I cannot fail. I want you to leap off something that you have no reason for why it would work, but trust that it will. That's what type of God we serve, where we can set the bar so high that at the end of the day, God has to come through on his word. He has to make good on his word. He has to be true to his word. And as a result of that, I challenge you to leap before you look. But what if you woke up today and the only thing you were able to cash in on God for was what you prayed for yesterday and what you thanked him for yesterday? What if God said, I'll only give you what you thanked me for most recently? I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning and said, God, I thank you for the breath of my body. With my family battling COVID, God, I thank you. With the fact that the symptoms are very minuscule, God, I thank you that my son will be healed. I thank you that my wife will be healed. I thank you that even though all of this is going on around me, this is nothing more than just a test. Because at the end of the day, I want to say thank God forever. Even before you ask God for anything, I think one ought to say thank you, God, for everything. Because nothing I have belongs to me. No gift that I've ever experienced was my own. No thought that I've ever come across was my own. It was all impregnated by God. Northwest, I'm challenging you now, and I just want to let God's people know that he sees you. He has not forgotten about you, and your best days are not behind you. They are absolutely in front of you. And that the only way up is the way down. Yeah, that's the power of contradiction. And what I mean by the only way up is the way down. If you want to move up the ladder, if you want to get to a higher place in God, if you want to get to a higher place in life, you're going to have to get down on your knees. Because being on your knees is symbolic. It's saying, God, I reverence you. God, I'm at your feet. God, I put you above me. And when you do that, God says, because you've given me the symbolism, because you've given me the act of service, I'm obligated at my word to respond to your situation. And there's nothing like praise and nothing like worship that causes God to respond to your situation. There's nothing. See, the difference between praise and worship is, God, I praise you for the shoes I have. God, I praise you for the grades I was able to get. God, I praise you for my health. But worship is, God, I worship you for the health that hasn't happened yet. God, I praise you for the discipline that haven't taken place yet. God, I praise you for allowing me to kick this addiction that hasn't happened yet. That's real live worship. And at the end of the day, we've got to give God a level of worship that bombards heaven, even by a round of applause, even by the clapping of your hands, even by the raising of your hands, that says, I'll do whatever it takes to get closer to heaven. I'll do whatever it takes to get closer to God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:14, the Bible reads, on a good day, enjoy yourself. But on a bad day, examine your conscience, because God arranges for both days to happen so that we don't take anything for granted. That's Ecclesiastes 7:14. With a cause. Now, you got to understand that who I'm about to refer to with Samson and Delilah, he fell victim to a woman who was deceptive. She was paid to trick him to find out where he got his powers from. But when Samson had a cause and a reason and a purpose, he won many battles. But he couldn't beat the temptation posed by Delilah. And so there's always going to be a cause and an effect. With a cause, Saul conquered many kingdoms, but without one, he could not conquer even his own jealousy. So as you see, there's different people in the Bible who has a cause and effect. What is your cause? You are here because of something. You are going to be a blessing because of someone else. You will be healed because of God. And the effect of your cause will be the very thing that leads people to Christ, because God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Northwest, I'm just challenging you to do the lifting. Just do the lifting. Just do your part of the lifting. And God says that I will do the drawing, because at the end of the day in life, you must always take the good with the bad, because it creates a balance of gratefulness. When you take the good with the bad, it creates a balance of gratefulness. Now, I want you to do something for me, and I want you to think about this, because when I was in acting school a long time ago, one of my professors told me, Romel, you're a really good actor. You're a really good actor, but you're lacking the ability to audition. If you can't get past the audition process, you'll never be able to showcase what you have. So you have to do a better job of your character development, so that when you get in the room, you can become that person, be that person, embody that person, and it will show up on camera. And he said, I want to give you these exercises, these three questions that are going to help you manipulate the character to get more out of it. And he said, the three questions are, one, what does your character want? Two, what's in the way of getting what he wants? And three, what will he do to get it? That's called character development. And then I thought about it and said, as much as that's good for acting, I want to know what that would be for myself. So my question to you, Northwest students and Northwest staff, those who are listening, what do you want from God? What's in the way of getting what you want? And what will you do to get it? What do you want? What's in the way of getting what you want? And what will you do to get it? What sacrifices are you willing to give up? What are you willing to say, God, I will do whatever it takes, because we always have to take the good with the bad. But you have to appreciate what you have before it turns into what you had. There's a lot of people who said, man, when I was your age, or if I could go back, I would. If I could do this, then I would. If I could. What if was right now? And you got to realize that some people's back in my day quote is your right now. You've got to live in the moment right now that says, what do I want from Christ? What's in the way of getting what I want from Christ? And what will I do to get it? And I'm willing to hang my hat that majority of those who are here, if you're anything like me, the one thing I need from Christ is the discipline. Because if I get the discipline, all the other things will be added unto me. God told Solomon, Solomon, ask me for anything that you want and I'll grant it to you. I don't know about you, but I probably would have asked for a little bit of cash, just a little bit, so I could make sure I'm good for the rest of my life. But that's not what Solomon asked for. He didn't ask for a home. He didn't ask for cars. He didn't ask for clothes. He didn't ask for a particular woman he wanted to marry. He didn't ask for any of that. Solomon asked for God's wisdom. That's discipline. The discipline of his thought led to something he did not ask for. And because he asked God for wisdom, God said, because you asked me for my wisdom, in turn, I will give you everything your heart desires that you did not ask for. Man sees eye to eye, but God sees heart to heart. So I'm challenging you to ask God for the right levels of faith. Ask God for the right levels of discipline. Ask God for what it's going to take to make your life better. Not necessarily the answer, but the process. Discipline is the process to victory. It's the antidote for what let's put it like this. You want to be willing to do things that failure is not willing to do. And failure wants nothing to do with discipline, but success does. So the moment you decide to be disciplined in your prayer life, the moment you decide to be disciplined in the classroom, the moment you decide to be disciplined in your relationships, the moment you decide to be disciplined as a person, everything you are not asking God for will be granted unto you, because every adversity is not the enemy that we approach. Sometimes it's ordered by God to prove his power and that your commitment to him simultaneously. Sometimes God allows things to come into your life just so he can prove himself mighty. At the end of the day, what do we need faith for if we're never in position to use it? one of the biggest things that brings out faith is when you are compromised between a rock and a hard place. But Winston Churchill said it best. He said, courage is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. How many of you can go from challenge to challenge without losing enthusiasm, from loss to loss without losing enthusiasm? Because at the end of the day, resistance is paramount to your spiritual growth. There has to be a level of resistance. Even if you go in the weight room and you want to get muscles and you want to get stronger, the only way to get stronger is to resist. That's why the iron, you are defying gravity. So if you let go, it will naturally fall down. But you don't necessarily get stronger on the way up. You get stronger by resisting gravity, and then you explode and you resist gravity. So sometimes God will send you a level of resistance in your life just so you can build up spiritual muscle to handle the strength of the enemy when he knocks on your door at any given time. That is enough for you to walk out of here and eat off of for a lifetime. Just continue to be in prayer. Continue to give yourself those tools of discipline, because you do not know when the fight will come to you. You do not know where and when the fight will take place, but is your commitment to God conditional or unconditional? Do you love God under the conditions that your demands are met? Do you love God under the condition that your prayers or your prayer requests are answered? What if God postponed his answer and just to see where your faith was, and because you didn't do it, you say, I knew God wasn't real anyway. And God says, no, I knew you didn't believe anyway. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you're in a bad place, even if you're down on your luck, even if you feel like you're in isolation, even if you feel like you're by yourself, God said, I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 26 and 27, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap in storeway and barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, not much more are you not much more valuable than they? Can you, in any one of you, add a day to your life by worrying? Can you even add a single hour to your life by worrying? To pray and worry is to have a split personality. To pray and worry is to not believe at all. And in the moment you have just a little bit of worry, you have forfeited the bigger part of the blessing. So you have to make sure and see it through that being two people at the same time, one is going to trip the other. Either you're faithful or you're not. Either you're confident or you're not. Either you're loyal to the process or you're not, because your faith can move mountains. The Bible says metaphorically that your faith, the size of a mustard seed, can move a mountain. But what is not written in the Bible, but I believe is the undertone and the underlying health of that scripture, is as much as faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain, I believe that doubt the size of a mustard seed can keep the mountain from moving. That's another thing you can write down and take with you. I believe that the moment you have doubt, the enemy has won the battle for the day. But the beauty of it is, as God says, my grace is sufficient for you, and it's new every morning. So whatever the enemy thought he got the best of you in the past, you are a new type of person. You're a new type of challenge. You're a new type of loved. You're a new type of committed. And the enemy can't do anything with somebody who is not willing to quit. And how valuable are you to God's kingdom? He values those who value him. So I challenge you to value God, to value the times that you spent with him, to value the fact that you're here means you value your life. Because you said, I'm going to willingly put myself in position to receive the things that God's had for me. That's what I'm going to put myself in position for. And for that, God deserves a hand praise. For that, you deserve a round of applause. And at the end of the day, what goes up absolutely must come down. What level of effort in Christ are you offering up? Because the level that you offer up will be the lever that comes down. You have to be able to celebrate the victories, but you can only, here's the deal, and maybe this makes more sense. It takes a small window to create certain victories, but you get a lifetime to enjoy them. So you have a small window to create certain prayers, to create certain disciplines that will allow you to enjoy the benefit of that labor for a lifetime. And so I want you to challenge yourself every day to spend time with God, intentional time, not convenient time where you're already going to bed and on your back so you decide to pray, but sacrificial time. That says, God, even though I'm not where I want to be, I thank you in advance for where I will be. Yeah, that's the kind of faith that makes heaven respond. The kind of faith that says, I may not be where I want, but I'm going to get there. God may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He might be late to you on paper, but he's always on time. And I'm just here to let God's people know that nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too challenging for God. Your issues, your challenges, your problems can all be taken care of. I cannot thank you again for listening. I cannot thank you again for taking the time out. And I'm just believing by faith that nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult. So Northwest, I pray now that you would take this word, abide by the truths of Christ, and understand that your best days are not behind you, they are ahead of you. I pray that this you found this beneficial, and I pray that God will continue to move in your life, and that your days will be greater, and that you will continue to give God all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And for that, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much for listening, and I cannot wait to come join you in person.